This is Voice Notes to Friends.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Voice Notes to Friends. Hey F.
Hey. I feel like we always say that in such a like, we're like, welcome back.
Yeah.
How are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
It's the morning, just for people, you know, know. It's the morning.
It is the morning. I'm a little tired. I went out last night.
Mm-hmm.
it was a lot of fun, and it's my mom's birthday tomorrow, so I went to the supermarket to buy ingredients to make her a cake because I hate the concept of free time, apparently, like the concept of just sitting down and doing nothing. But yeah, no, thank you. I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I'll show you after.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be one of those cakes, like one of those cakes.
Yeah, I really want. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't baked a cake in a while, so we'll see how it goes. How are you? How has your week been?
Good. Actually, you know what? This question, when people ask me, like, how was your week or how was your weekend? I blank. Like, I don't know what I did. Like, on the spot, I'm like, what did I do? Did I do nothing? No, but I did stuff, obviously. It was, like, very work-filled, I guess. No free time. But, yeah, the weekend is much needed. But, yeah, here we are. So, today's episode, we're going to talk about sexuality, what it means, how we experience it, how we express it, all that stuff. Let's just start off with like the definition of sexuality. So, it has to do with the way you identify, how you experience sexual and romantic attraction, if you do, right? Because you can be asexual. And of course, your preferences in general. There's so much shame around talking about sexuality or exploring it. So what is shame? Okay, shame defined by Brené Brown, who's like a pioneer in anything to do with shame and guilt and stuff, is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we're flawed and that we're unworthy of like love and belonging and something we've experienced, done, or failed to do, so it makes us unworthy of connection. That's how Brené defines it.
I didn't know. That's such a good definition.
Mm-hmm. And she like differentiates between guilt and stuff. She's great.
That's like the infographic you sent me the other day.
Mm.
Was it you?
Which one?
Oh my God, I hope it was you. Or else this is really awkward.
Not Bahasa.
It's the map, and it was like the West, like in the US it's guilt. If you're a part of
And then it was me.
It's like shame, right? And fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all experience that. I just wanna say that straight up, it's not something taboo. Like, why is it so taboo to discuss, you know, when it's something so adi, it's part of the human experience, and this is something that we deny ourselves. And like, where did all these social limitations come from? I must say it came from the West, okay? And obviously, like, a lot of people will be like, it's a religious aspect, but like the religion itself, again, I'm not very well informed, I don't know, but it's mainly culture and not religion. Would you agree?
Definitely, 100%. I mean, I'm not, like you just said, like, I don't want to comment on the religious aspect that much because I don't feel like I've done enough reading and learning around the topic to be able to, like, decisively say, no, it's not misogynistic, like, this verse or whatever, like, this section on it. So I'm not going to comment on that, but I will say that I know for a fact that a lot of it is cultural and has absolutely nothing to do with religion. And I think, you see that problem come up with a lot of different things, not just sexuality, where, like, culture or, like, you know, like, religion is so, like, deeply enmeshed with the region that some of, like, our cultural, like, habits and, like, traditions we're like, oh, haram, if you don't do it. It's like, no, actually, it's not haram because you're just doing that because you're Saudi. So me as an Egyptian, I have no obligation to do that. It's part of your culture kind of thing.
Right.
And like, because I feel like Saudi is so synonymous with Islam and, you know, so it just becomes really, not just Saudi, of course, like a lot of countries.
Yeah, but as an example.
Yeah, just as an example. I don't know, but I don't know why there's so much shame. I still feel awkward saying like vagina and stuff.
Yeah.
I can't say it. I don't know why. Like, I mean, I can obviously, but every time I say it, even if I keep a straight face and I'm being serious, inside me there's like this little like
oh, I said it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird. And I, you know, I like to think that I'm like progressive or whatever, but I don't know, sometimes yours, like, your conditioning is too strong, so you always, like, there's a little bit left behind.
That's so important. It's, we've internalized a lot of the societal conditioning, and that's where the shame comes from. I'm just gonna leave this here, okay? And then people can, like, do their own research. So there's this really, really good show on Netflix by Christiane Amanpour, the CNN correspondent. She has a show called Sex and Love Around the World. And she goes to different cities, like seven or eight different cities around the world. And she talks about, she interviews people, some scholars, some just like normal, everyday, the average person, yani, about the stuff and how they experience sexuality, what does it mean, كل الحاجات دي. And obviously a lot of societal and cultural stuff comes up. And one of the cities that she goes to is Beirut. I wish, obviously, she couldn't come to, like, Saudi or, like, anywhere in the Gulf or whatever. Beirut made the most sense. But basically, in that episode, one of the things is she goes and interviews this couple. And they have a collection of rare books. And one of the books is a 15th century Arab sex manual / erotic literature written by a sheikh. Okay, for a Tunisian sultan or something. I don't know, like, the history of that book is very interesting and controversial, I guess. So I recommend people, like, look into it. But yeah, this thing existed. And so this book is called The Perfumed Garden. And in it, it's actually like the Kama Sutra, but for this region, basically. It's like, this is how you do it. This is what's best. This is marafshe. And yeah, it's just like, it was there and... Now it's not, I don't know, it's like we've repressed that aspect of us. And I didn't even know that book existed until a couple of years ago, till I saw that episode, you know?
I mean, I like, didn't wow, know until exists. Like 5 minutes ago when you told me, but is it available now or you can't get it?
Yeah, I have a PDF, I have a translated version of it. I'll send it to you. Very interesting. So yeah, but also, so yeah, look into that. But also, like, Alain de Botton, this philosopher, School of Life, he was like, what if sexuality could be linked to all that is virtuous within us instead of being, you know, relegated to, like, the shadowy corners of our lives, right? Because it's, like, so taboo and, like, you have to hide it. So that's, like, a shadow self, right? So he suggests that we integrate an interest in our sexuality along with our ideals like intelligence, kindness, and humility. So it would require, like, a cultural revolution to consider these values like honesty and courage and whatever as synonymous with sexual exploration, right? Which then, like, the word revolution or sexual revolution always reminds me of Mona al-Tahawi and her books and how she's always like, we need a sexual revolution as women, you know, because, like, the men are always the sexual beings when we are too.
Yeah, I loved, so wait, on the first point, you know, the Alicia Keys lyric, war is holy and sex is obscene. From what is the song called, Holy War, but it's so true that, like, I mean, like, it just, like, when you said that just now about, like, like, thinking of sexuality or, like, sexual identity as part of, like, this virtuous thing or something that we can develop and explore, like, in a healthy way, just reminded me, like, you know, when you see, like, pictures of violence and blood and stuff like that, and then and then you see a sex scene, like, I don't remember watching TV with my parents at all, like, that much. But, like,
Damon isn't the
you cover your eyes for sex scenes, but not for violent scenes.
Right.
So it's just interesting. Now that you've said it, I'm just, like, thinking about it. But on the Mona Tahawi part, I love, love, love the... Like, I only know the word in Arabic for some reason at the beginning of the book.
In the beginning, ayo.
When it's like, this book is for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I love that one on her book. I can't remember, like, word for word what it said, but it just says, like, to, like, Arab women, basically, like, be loud, be obscene, be fahma alilt al-adab, basically, you know, take up space in the world. Like, we're taught to make ourselves so small. Don't be too loud.
Yeah. We're docile.
No one needs to see you. Or, like, you should be seen, not heard, seen pretty.
In a certain way.
Mu'addaba, everything. So I just thought that, like, I really haven't, I don't, like, follow her that much. I want to, though. But that, I remember I saw that on Instagram. It was so, so good. That dedication, maybe? I don't know, whatever. That page dedication. In the book.
Yes, it is a dedication.
So, yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, identity. So how do you identify?
So
sexually,
I am a heterosexual cisgendered woman.
I just learned cisgendered like 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, I was telling you, like, I follow a bunch of different people, like a really wide range of people on Instagram, just to try and stay up to date.
Up to date.
You know what I mean? Mm. Just only be like, if only because I would want someone to do the same for me, kind of thing. Like, bizarre. I get so offended. I think I've gone on a rant about this before, but like about that, like, oh, is it safe where you're from? Oh, what's it like? Blah, blah. Yeah. And I almost like expect people to be educated on like my identity. So I feel this responsibility to reciprocate and also be educated on other people's identities best.
Makes sense.
I would like to caveat that with, I do believe that everything in life is fluid. I set this in the identity episode. Everything is a spectrum, and I'm saying, okay, now I'm a heterosexual cisgendered woman. Now I don't know what might happen in the future, so this is not me, like, this is how I identify,
but it's not set in stone.
I accept other people's identities 100%. I think we're gonna go a little deeper into that side of things a little later, but how do you identify?
So I'm like, I wrote down like, I'm a straight woman, and then I was like, do people still say straight, you know? And I'm like, okay, no, I'm a heterosexual cisgender woman. Mm-hmm. And then for people who don't know what cisgender is, it's like you identify with your assigned sex and gender at birth, right? So I'm a born a woman and I identify
as biological one. And I suppose psychological. I don't know, like biological sex and presenting your gender are the same.
Mm-hmm. There's so many labels,
right?
Which is great. Like, I can't keep up though, but like, it's amazing that there's so many labels because you make sure that everyone's represented. But then you do get confused and you constantly need to update your vocabulary because you don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah, but you know, I think it also, like, it's the same sort of argument with, like, racism. Like, you get, like, white privileged men specifically saying, like, I don't even know what to say anymore to not offend someone. And, like, what I've personally found, so I do quite a lot of work with, like, LGBTQ plus people at work, and, like, I'm on that network at work, and I just try and be informed and like help out where I can and stuff. And I find that if you're trying, no one will ever say anything. It's just like, if you're like obviously being an asshole, obviously you're and you know you're being an asshole.
If you're really not trying.
But like, if you get something wrong, hatta with like trans people or like people that are non-binary, if you get pronouns wrong, they don't, like, if it was an accident, obviously an accident, it's not that they're going to be like, don't call me that. Well, some people wouldn't. Okay, they have the right to be offended and everything. But mostly if you're just, like, conscious of it and trying to make an effort, I think that's all anyone can ask.
I agree. I just realized, like, we always tend to label ourselves, and we mentioned this in the identity one, we have to label ourselves for other people, when in fact, if like I lived in a vacuum, right, I wouldn't need to even label myself as heterosexual or cis. I wouldn't have to label myself at all, but it is just for other people. And then I'm like thinking, this is something else, Annie, and no, I can't believe that there are people still that are sexist, or they judge others based on their sexuality. Maybe they're not sex, like homophobic, I mean, and sexist. Yeah, like sibu nas fahalha. Like, who are you to say that something is right or wrong, you know? And then based on that, why are there so many restrictions over how someone can express their identity? You know, you can't fully express your sexuality or anything like that due to others and like the social construct. And of course, I realize that I have it much easier compared to like the LGBTQ plus community, at least in like the Arab region, for sure. Right?
But in general, I think as like a cisgendered heterosexual woman,
it's just so much
easier. You're definitely like, that is a privilege. Yeah.
But of course, no one has it as easy as the heterosexual man.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially Canada and the Arab region, everywhere. But I'm talking about my experience here, right?
Yeah.
So we tend to feel like we can't fully express ourselves because of like the norms, whether they're spoken or unspoken, right? Because also there's like a different idea of what it means to be like the ideal woman or person or whatever in each person's mind. And like, you can't live up to that.
But
like,
there's woman, more woman. There are a lot of different versions of the ideal man, but there seems to only be one version of the ideal woman for some reason.
Bizzupt. Any, let's I'll talk about like a very basic example, and you can scale that up, right? Because it does start, you notice it in like little things. So the way you dress, مثلا, I'm not like quote unquote the most feminine or like the most girly, you know?
Yeah.
So if I'm wear or I don't put makeup all the
but
time.
But these are also like social constructs.
Bezupt.
Yeah.
Bezupt. It is a social construct. So why do I have to look a certain way in order for me to be an example of like the ideal heterosexual woman, mm-hmm. when in fact like, I can just wear a loose t-shirt and jeans and whatever, and I can still be a woman and express myself sexually in that way, you know?
Yeah. I just but wonder why people feel the need to do that with like complete strangers. Look, like if, like I said before, and we talked about this, if I'm dating you, if you're my friend, whatever, okay, it might be understandable. I want to know what you are so I can relate to you in a certain way. But like, if I'm telling you that this random person you're never going to meet in your life is gay or messing they're non-binary, oh, it's hard to tell. They haven't expressed what they are, so you don't know what they are. Why do you care? Like, it has nothing to do with your... I don't know why it's so triggering for people. It's such a polarizing topic. I mean, like, why do you care so much? Care about it, like, when it affects you, but it doesn't. So I don't understand. But it's the same thing with, like, women's bodies and how much they're policed. Like, I don't get it. What I do with my body is my business and literally doesn't affect you at all. So why do you care so much? I don't really know.
So... Let's dive into that a bit more. So what does it mean to be a woman with respect to sexuality? Because we're aware that there are gender roles in society, but let's zoom in on sexuality specifically. So مثلا, in pop culture, men are portrayed as, you know, porn watching, sex having, masturbatory beings, right? When women, we're shown as, you know, we want desire. Romance. Yeah. We desire romance over sex, right? Or, we're like too enigmatic for men to pin down. And there's a difference between what society thinks it means to be a woman, but also what each woman believes it means to be a woman and how each woman experiences it, right? So I can only speak from my experience. So for the longest time, what it meant to be a woman for me, which we've spoken on, like now we've touched upon it already, is like it means to be silenced. It means to be docile. It means to be ambitious, but not too ambitious. It means to be polite. It means to be, you know, very kind of shy and whatever. You're the angel kind of in front of society, but you have to be super wild in the bedroom.
Innocence is synonymous. Yeah.
There's just so much hiding who you are when it comes to being a woman.
Yeah, actually, to that point, I think I meant to talk about this like a little bit later, but like I think it fits in really well here. There's this book called Trick Mirror. I haven't read it. I really want to read it. I would highly recommend it. I think it talks, I've seen like snippets of it and people posting about it. It talks about like social and like living life online and stuff like that. It's so good though. It's like, it says like exploring self-delusion or something like that, and how basically we trick ourselves online. But the part I want to refer to here is they talk about why women do so much better online than men. And it's because basically we've been training our whole lives for this. So I'll just take one step back. Basically, it talks about how if an apartment, I think that was the analogy, if you lit every single corner of an apartment under the couch, under the every single corner, it would become uninhabitable because you can't, like, there has to be shadow sides of everything. You know, you can't have to, and it's an analogy, obviously, for people. Like, if you showed everyone every side of you, where would you go to, like, retreat? Kama, you can't be that version of you all the time. So it was talking about how basically, مثلا, men struggle to do that because they're always, like, in their own lives, they're just allowed to be whoever they want and do whatever they want, and خلاص فهمة, they can do it. But women, we've basically been training our whole lives to be able to like show this perfect version of us, and that's why we do better online, apparently. Well, not us personally, but you know what I mean, like bloggers, wakada. So I just thought that was really interesting, and like that and that's why I think, I don't know if the book goes there, but it seems like the logical conclusion, kind of. That's why, like, people hate so much also on influencers, because you conditioned us, the patriarchy, you conditioned us to be this way. We've been struggling through it. We found a way to monetize it. and actually use it to our advantage. And now they're like, oh, influencer is not even a real job. What? I'm going to work, out of that meme, I'm going to work so hard so my daughter doesn't have to sell protein shakes on Instagram, something like that. It's like she's making more money than you, though. And she has like full autonomy over what she's doing. Mm. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting point.
But yeah, so basically we are more oppressed. That is the consensus. Yeah,
and you're forced to like always appear perfect. That's the point. Like we're always having to like shapeshift to fit into other people's expectations of us. I know everyone has to some extent, but women definitely a lot more.
For sure. Speaking of books, I'm currently reading this like super informative and enlightening book. Like from the first 15 pages I learned something and I'm like, oh my god, I don't know where this is gonna go. Like this is gonna blow my mind. This woman is called Emily Nagoski. She wrote a book called Come As You Are, and she's just talking about mainly sexual functioning, and mainly for women, but in general she talks about both sexes, and she's like breaking down myths and she's saying we're all the same. Okay, like the basics of anatomy. She calls it the not so basic basics because we haven't had proper sex ed. Like, let's just say we don't have proper sex ed.
You're just expected to know, I guess. I don't know why.
Yeah, even in school, I remember like we took one chapter about anatomy in الحاجات دي, and that was it. And obviously it was like, oh my God, we're talking about this.
Was it in biology though, or was it?
Yeah, it was biology. Same.
It wasn't sex ed for me.
No, it wasn't. We don't have a thing called sex ed, Hina.
Yeah.
At all. She says we're all the same, right? Men and women. It's just been gendered. It's been gentrified. Whatever. It's gendered. But technically, anatomy-wise, we're all the same. Just, you know, we all have the same parts, just متركبه differently, I guess. بس كله زي بعض. We both experience orgasm, desire, arousal. And it's also assumed, like, because men, مثلا, have, like, spontaneous, out-of-the-blue desire for sex, and no, women should also want sex spontaneously. But it turns out that is true sometimes, right? But not necessarily. Mm-hmm. So a woman can be perfectly normal and healthy and never experience a spontaneous sexual desire. So within each group, you find a vast variety of of diversity. Mm-hmm. And it's not just anatomically, it's also in the, like, your sexual orientation, your preferences, your gender identity, expression, كل الحاجات دي, and including sexual functioning, which is arousal, desire, orgasm, right? So another thing is, like, you know, men have higher sex drive or whatever than women. No, عادي, we're all the same. Men can have low sex drives. Women can have low sex. عادي, people differ. It's طبيعي, you know? And that's not what blew my mind, obviously. What blew my mind was her talking about the hymen, okay?
Yeah.
And she was saying how usually, obviously, we know this, and it comes in different shapes and sizes. Some people have it, some people don't. عادي, okay? But she's like, during sex, when you bleed, like it's your first time having sex, when you bleed, that's not the bleeding because of the ripping of or the tearing of the hymen. Mm-hmm. That's not it. The pain, yes, is from the ripping of the hymen, which can heal itself. عادي جدا, يعني. It just, you know, it's painful because it's not used to being stretched, but it can go back to عادي, يعني. It doesn't stay broken forever. Some can, like, you know, it seals itself again. If it tears or bruises, it heals. And that's why it's painful. But that's not why it bleeds. It bleeds because there isn't enough lubrication.
Yeah.
And that's basically like the friction and like the tearing.
So does that mean that if there's... So does that mean that if it's like well lubricated, it wouldn't tear?
It wouldn't, or like minimally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the hymen will break. عادي. It could not. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's really not about the hymen at all. And it's so funny that that's like... You know,
the most important thing in the world. It's the pinnacle of everything.
We put so much pressure on this, like, one little tissue, and it's like literally nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think that's where.
And they're like, "Oh, you bled. You're a virgin."
Social construct, because vaginal penetrative sex is not the only kind of sex.
Yeah, that's important.
So why is the hymen the only important body part kind aspect of thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I just want to go back to the thing, to like the part you said about females and males, and like who's more sexual, who has I don't know what the word you used was, but like basically more sexual desire, has more sexual desire. And I just wanted to briefly touch on female genital mutilation. It's a really, really big thing in Egypt, especially in Upper Egypt, but I think it's prevalent like everywhere. And yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I don't understand, like, the hypocrisy. So first you say that we're not sexual beings. Mm-hmm. Only men are sexual beings. But then you go and do that, FGM, to suppress or, like, curb.
Prevent.
Yeah, the sex, like, for women being horny, basically. I'm just going to, I don't know, still, we'll see. I don't want to use that word. I don't know why.
Own it.
Yeah. Basically, you're trying to, if we were so not sexual, why are you trying to prevent us being horny? And shouldn't you be doing that to guys, Ahsan, since they're so into it? You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't really make sense. But again, like, this ties in quite nicely with the fact that they do it to small children, right? Small girls.
Yeah.
And I wanted...
They would have just hit puberty or not necessarily?
I don't know exactly, to be honest, like the technicalities. I think maybe you could do it at a range of different ages. But on the point of puberty in girls, wearing the headscarf after they've... And again, I don't want to look at it from a religious perspective. What? Oh, is that what you're supposed to do? Whatever. That's not my point right now. But I want to talk about, like, I see these young girls wearing headscarves. Like as young as like 9 and something, but the problem for me is that like wearing a headscarf in Egypt in this context is always linked with like being modest to basically repel or deflect the male gaze. I'm like, what male gaze?
Why She's is there 9. Male gaze? Yeah,
you know, it's just really fucked up. Like I just, it really upsets me where like, remember when Al-Ikhwan were in power a few years ago after the revolution in Egypt? I remember, like, it was sort of... No, sorry, maybe not Al-Ikhwan that we're discussing this, is Salafin. I don't know, like, there was a few different, like, hyper-religious political parties, basically. And they were discussing, like, marriage to, like, minor girls, like, as young as 9 and 12. Like, why are we discussing that? Like, I just don't understand. You're, like... Seriously, like, I'm really sorry, but, like, you're seriously, like, fucked in the head if that's what you feel is the most important topic to be discussing in Parliament. خلاص. فهما هتموت وتجوز بنت صغيرة عندها 9 سنين. It's so weird, like, and I don't understand. I don't know. That just topic just really pisses me off, like, the sexualization. And I think we touched on this previously, but, like, the fact that, I mean, I still don't like wearing, like, really low-cut tops and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't dress modest at all. Like, I wear really short skirts. Sometimes if it fits, like, if the outfit is cool, I do wear low-cut tops. But as you know, I never wear, like, anything like a push-up bra or, like, I don't like to accentuate my curves. Yeah. You know, and I don't know, like, I haven't, like, fully unpacked that, but I think it's because of, like, just the sexualization of women in general and coupled with shame because of where we're from. Because I feel like women are sexualized everywhere, but there's not the same amount of shame. I don't know. Correct me if you, like, disagree or, like, tell me if you disagree with that.
No, I agree because I'm thinking, like, how... Because this is, like, we're not comfortable fully. Would you say, I don't know, would you say this is, like, part of us not being very comfortable expressing our sexuality? Like, even just wearing a low-cut top. Like, and for me, I had to crop tops. I love them. I want to wear them. But then, like, I feel weird just because of the male gaze, though. It's always because of the male gaze, and I don't want to be sexualized. Like, that is, it's, like, my goal in life. Please don't sexualize me, like, all the time for no reason. I'm just wearing a top that I like, you know?
Yeah,
but that's also not on me.
No, like, it's not.
It's not on me.
But it's not even like I'm not trying to like help them. Like, because I think the concept of how it's framed, being modest, is to not turn on men. But it's not, I don't give a shit if I turn them on. You get turned on. Yeah. Just don't tell me about it. You know what I mean? That's my problem. I don't care if you get turned on, go get turned on, بعيد عني. But it's I don't know, like, if we go, like, if I think deeply about it, I think it's because they always react catcalling or, like, just, you know, that they now view you as this, like, super sexual being. I don't know exactly what it is, but I definitely, something I want to work on. Like, I should be able to, like, be comfortable in my, like, sexuality and femininity and all of that. But I'm definitely not. Like, I'm just, like, I do think, like, I kind of subconsciously actively try and, like, be less sexual, you know,
Or
present less sexually.
Yeah, but I don't, personally, for me, I don't wake up every day and be like, how can I be anti-sexual or how can I be anti-woman? That's really not the case.
Sabah said that, no? Like, Sabah Khodir, she was doing an interview and she said that, like, in Egypt, basically, you wake up, I'm the same, like,
yeah,
you.
And how can I be less
how
woman
can I look
today?
Less like a woman today, so when I'm walking down the street, so yeah, no, I don't do that, I'm not saying, but I completely understand what she's saying about Egypt, especially, but I don't do that, but subconsciously, I think we do. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, there is a false belief. There's a limiting belief there.
Yeah.
That we need to work on.
Our style is like, that's how it's developed, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
The way we dress.
Like, I love loose things. I'm not like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, Yanni. But also, the environment, was not very conducive to you expressing your sexuality fully. At least for me, like... Hinaf Saudiya or Muslim being in Egypt or being in a very like oppressive, repressive country, right? You don't feel like you can completely like comfortably express it, maybe.
Yeah, but even
but
here,
listen, you're in London, Ayo, but it's like you're in London, even when I was in London or when I'm abroad, yeah, I would be more comfortable wearing like things that I wouldn't wear here. Like I have my closet, I have a whole side of it filled with clothes that I can only wear abroad.
Yeah, that was me when
and
I
I'm
used
like,
to live
that
in
is
Egypt.
So sad.
Yeah.
That is so sad. Why am I buying clothes then that I can't wear here? Yeah. When Aisha most of the time Hina.
Yeah.
And I can't even wear my clothes,
but because I would wear something like shorter, but I wouldn't wear something low cut. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah,
it's like still, even if I'm abroad, yeah, I could wear like, I guess, quote unquote, more revealing, but not more revealing sexually. Just I don't know. There's a difference. I can't like explain it in words.
I don't know why cleavage for me is an
issue. Cleavage, same.
It's that
cleavage and accentuating curves. So like my waist to like hips area.
Yes.
But no, totally. I to be completely honest, when I see a girl wearing something that like big push-up bra, low cut, I like in my first reaction, I'm like, why is she dressed like that? Like in my head. But I'm like always working on not feeling that way. But I guess it's just conditioning. Because like when I take a second and I think about it, I'm like, good, like she looks great, you know? But I just always think like we're at work or like we're just at a casual dinner, why are your like boobs out? Like, why not? Like, she wants them out, no problem,
why not?
But yeah,
this kind of like the work, I guess, for us to do on this, at least one thing, I'm sure there's like more, but one of the things is like working on like the divine feminine energy and awakening that part of you. So, you know, you have like the divine feminine and the divine masculine, because there's like feminine energy, male energy, could have into different qualities. So the feminine energy is like creation, intuition, sensuality, love, community. كل الحاجات الحلوة دي is the feminine energy. But it's non-binary. It's not like you have to be a woman to feel that. It's every gender, everyone can feel. Yeah, both everyone. Have to exist. And there has to be a balance, because it's like the masculine energy gets shit done for the feminine energy, you know? So it's like the designer and the craftsman, they go together. But also... I feel personally like I need to work on that. I need to awaken that divine feminine within me more so. Like something intuitive inside of me is telling me, yeah, okay, you're on the right track, because you're like questioning things and thinking about it and talking about it and whatever you're doing, you. But there's more. Like there's more you that you need to uncover and you need to work on. Because I also feel like I've been hardened by life and by circumstances 100%. That like I'm so in touch with the male or with the masculine energy in me. That my feminine energy is like, hello, what about me, you know? And we see, like, the shadow side of the divine masculine is its preoccupation with power, okay? And so when masculine energy becomes corrupt, it results in, like, the toxic patriarchal society that we see today, right? That's built on this philosophical foundation or whatever of, you know, you get, you reject, you use, you dominate, كل الحاجات دي. And that's why you have, مثلا, racial, sexual... religious intolerance and gender inequality with Hagadi and like the environment going to shit. And I'm also just gonna say like corona, like everything shit in the world is because of this imbalance.
But it's also, I think, like the reason for the imbalance is this like idea of binary in everything. Like, I guess I don't know if like this actually applies, like if I'm being like technically correct, but like duality, like good and bad, masculine, feminine, all of us have both yin and yang. We all have everything inside of us, and I think like to your point about being hardened or whatever, like by the world, or by just the fact that you were told, masan, you need to like, let's say your dad passed away, you know, now you need to be strong. Kolos, your mom is taking care of you and your family. I was gonna specify how many members of your family. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. But like, do you know what? Like, it's like a little bit. And for some reason, because of this like binary or lack of duality, you feel like, kolos, I need to be strong. Then I can never be soft.
Right.
But it's actually recognizing that it like ebbs and flows between the balance, between like having two, and like there are moments when you need to tap into the masculine.
This energy, yeah.
And so that's really important. And something I really struggle with. So when you said that you were hard, and I'm like, yeah, same, because I felt like, you know, nothing come in too serious. I need to study. I need to be serious about work. Yes. I want people to take me seriously. So I can't ever show my femininity, masalan. So it's just, yeah, it's interesting to think about that.
Yeah, like now when you said that when women work hard, you know, or they're staying late, oh, look at her. She's like, it's glorified. It's like, why is this a masculine thing? Or I don't know.
Yeah, this no, it's like true. I was watching someone she's like an entrepreneur, and she was talking about the fact that like she gets so much hate online. And like if a woman is not like, doesn't show her vulnerability and isn't as emotional, but she's successful, she's automatically labeled a bitch. But you wouldn't expect the same from a guy. So like, you need women to be relatable and have some sort of struggle story to like, to be like, oh yeah, so she needs to be like, you know, I get so much hate,
the damsel in distress.
Yeah, exactly. And she was like, actually, like, I grew up very privileged, I went to a great university, and now I'm like, I have like £3 million businesses. I don't know. There's no struggle, to be honest. I'm just successful, kind of thing. And so everyone's just like, oh, you think you're better than everyone. But it's like, why? Like, I haven't struggled. I'm not going to lie, so you can relate to me more and make yourself feel better, kind of thing. Whereas with men, عادي هنا, people like guys go to like Eton and then they go to Oxford and then they go work, and it's like, oh wow, look at him, so successful. He doesn't need to have any 1 ounce of emotion, no problem. But it's just, it's that again. It's like the fact that we feel the need to do that to like, I don't know. Sometimes we want to fit the mold. Sometimes we're just like, no, I'm not going to show you any emotion because I'm a serious person and I shouldn't have to, kind of thing. So I don't know.
Yeah. So when you say, fit the mold.
Yeah.
Okay. Dame and Fines, like people make assumptions based on how you look, right? Whether you fit that mold or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you, at least here in Saudi, if you have a buzz cut or a pixie cut or anything to do with like short hair, you are labeled as quote unquote a boya, which is a butch lesbian or whatever. Even if you might not be butch, but it's like, khalas, you're a lesbian. Yeah. So I remember Mara, I shaved my head at one point in life and I felt so liberated and it was so freeing. And I actually felt like more woman without my hair. Like that mean, like having hair means nothing to me. It is not synonymous with being a woman. Right. But in Muhammad, I realized that a lot of people, because the stereotype is so strong that like, because I had no hair, regardless of whether I behaved like one or not, which we'll get into, like, what does it mean to behave like a lesbian or like give off lesbian vibes or whatever? People thought I was a lesbian. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not, though. I was actually quite very feminine. I was like the most feminine.
I was
going
to say,
anything.
Did you feel the need to like dress more feminine, quote unquote feminine, but like social construct version of femininity?
But still within like my idea of like what it means.
But yeah, like more dresses.
But yeah, more
makeup?
Dresses.
Did you wear more makeup? And jewelry, but you
lipstick.
Wear jewelry anyways.
I wear jewelry anyways, yeah. I love earrings. And of course, having no hair like showed them off even more. Yeah. So like, that was not really... Yani, I could tell though that I was being more quote unquote girly. I hate that term. Yes. I hate using that term. But yeah, I was... I don't know. It's just very interesting to see how people treat you based on like a stereotype. And it's like, but I'm not. Like, are you even trying to like figure out whether or not I am? Just you look at me and you assume something based on that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The other day I was having this conversation with a couple of people and one girl was asking me like, you know, I find, let's say, a woman attractive. I'm straight, like I'm a heterosexual woman. I'm not feeling anything sexually towards this person, but I see a picture of a woman and I'm like, wow, this woman is attractive, you know? And then she would show like her friend who's a man, okay, like, hey, look, isn't this woman like really attractive? And he's like, why are you showing this? Like, are you a lesbian or whatever? She's like, no, but like genuinely, like she's hot or she's beautiful or whatever. And then she's like, does that make me weird? And I'm like, no, because, well, if you're weird, then I'm weird too, because I'm the same way. And he,
yeah.
If I see a woman or anything, like I see someone and I'm like, wow, that is beautiful or whatever. Like this person is so beautiful. I'm not attracted. There's no sensual, like no sexual,
like physical there. Reaction.
Yeah, at all. It's just like objectively speaking, or subjectively, yeah. This person's attractive.
You know what that is though? It's because we put too much focus on sexual attraction, especially when it comes to non-straight people. Like if I tell you that I'm gay, it's like, oh, like, you automatically think sex. You don't think about like relationship building, mm-hmm. like, or being attracted to someone's like personality or like femme kid, that we all only think about sex. And that's because the focus is so much, I mean, not me and you necessarily, but in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's it. So like, Hatta, if I appreciate that you're beautiful, I mm-hmm. still can't be in a relationship with you because I'm not that way inclined.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain, but like everything wise, you know, personality, all of that, like,
yeah.
Going back to the masculine and feminine energy, for example, generally speaking, and it depends mm-hmm. if you're binary or non-binary and all of that stuff. But let's say like female identifying people have more feminine energy than masculine energy. And I'm saying I'm heterosexual. So I have, I'm attracted to more masculine energy. That has nothing to do with sex. That's just like right versus left brain and stuff like that. Like I'm talking like mm-hmm. personality traits. Mm-hmm. So therefore, plus I'm physically attracted to men. Like I think they're attractive. Yeah. So it's like
yeah.
a combination of those two things. But even if I thought you were pretty or attractive as a woman, your personality I'm not attracted to, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that goes
yeah.
back to why I think like sexuality is so fluid, because you could be attracted to a person Bordeaux regardless of their gender. Hasn't right. happened to me yet, I guess, in that like I'm attracted to a girl personality, physically, right. all of that. But I'm just saying there are a lot more variables that play it's than nuanced, just yeah. sex. And I think that's what we reduce it to, and that's where the problem, that's why he's like,
yeah.
oh, what, are you bisexual? Like, no, but like obviously she's attractive and I can acknowledge yeah. that, and you can acknowledge that.
Yeah. Damon, my argument is Allah jamil yuhibbu al-jamal, tawana kaman, yani aho haga jamila qadami haqul Allah Allah halwa.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Think maybe guys just don't do that enough. No, or maybe. They do it in a different way, because I know that like for a fact, like if they see a football player, they definitely say like, oh, he's built, or like he's hench. Yeah,
they anyway, fit, very fit.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something, since we're talking about like LGBTQ plus community a lot. So I remember when they were starting to become very represented on TV, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least when people around me started noticing, like they were in almost every TV show and every movie, they're everywhere. And maybe they would think of themselves as like the token gay friend or whatever, but you know, just like there's always the token woman in the, but mm-hmm. it's great that there's some sort of representation, right? And now more and more shows and more movies and whatever are for that, like it's about them, you know, it's from their point of view, their perspective. So it's wonderful. Okay. But I'll be honest, I remember when it first started happening and people would say, oh, of course they're going to add another gay couple. Oh, of course. Why are they shoving it down our throat? And I was like, okay. You know, when I was younger, I was like, okay, this is, I guess, how I'm supposed to feel about them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But then, you know, when you sit with yourself and you kind of mute the voices that aren't yours, right? It's society's voice in your head and like other people's voices. You're like, I mean, aren't we shoving it down their throats? We've been shoving it down their throats for years and years and years. You know what I mean? It's only fair that they also get portrayed, Danny.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like, if you're trying to reflect society, it ties in quite well with representation. Like if you're trying to reflect society, how can you just completely ignore these people? So mm-hmm. they're not actually shoving it down anyone's throat.
Yeah.
This is just a more accurate portrayal of what society
of
looks
the world.
Like, kind of.
Bzzupt.
Yeah. But to the point about, and I don't want to say it because I'm like a little bit embarrassed, but I'll say it anyway. What? In the interest of like full transparency, I was gonna say about like PDA and like non-straight people showing PDA in public versus straight people. Mm. And I'll start by saying that I don't like PDA. I don't like seeing it. I don't like doing it. I just don't like...
In general.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know, maybe that's like to do with culture and the fact that we don't see it very often. So I'm just like conditioned. But in general, I don't want to see you like, you know, shoving your tongues down someone's throat when I'm like walking down the street kind of thing. And I feel that way about straight people as well. Let me clarify. But I would be lying if I said that I, and this is like past tense, I didn't notice it more, or like I didn't like was like, oh, when it's like gay people, it just looks not like less normal. Well, it looked less normal to me. And then I was like, why though? Because like, okay, like it or don't, I don't like it. But when straight people do it, I kind of accept it as a fact of life. So I just like was like sitting with myself and thinking like, why do I feel that way? And it's just because of that whole representation thing again. I just like, I'm not seeing it enough. So when I see it, I'm like, oh, that's like something in my mind registers. Oh, this is not normal. However, now, and we were just talking about this, when I see gay people in public, when I see straight people, I'm still like, ugh, get a room. But when I see gay people in public now, it makes me so happy. And like holding hands, especially if they're older. I don't know why. I went to the seaside the other, like the other week, and I saw like these two older women holding hands and kissing, and they were walking their dog. And so that was so cute. I just was like, oh, oh my God. And I just like that. That was like a completely like me sitting with myself and like just like really asking myself, like, why do you feel this way? It's completely like irrational, and just like unpacking it and then reaching a rational decision or like a rational place where I'm like, I actually have no problem with this at all. Why am I reacting this way? So I think it's important for all of us to do that with like certain aspects of this.
So I know you want to talk about, you want to touch on, you know, platonic intimacy.
I just want to touch on it because it's so important. By the way, I don't know if you know me at all. I'm not like the most affectionate person in the world.
Me neither.
But
it's problematic.
It is, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. Because I was about to say I want to try and work on that, but even then, my like resistance from inside me, I'm like, no, I don't want anyone to touch me at all, kind of thing. But yeah, I have been more intimate with my friends recently. Like, I make an effort to say I love you and I miss you and stuff to like. People I work with, because I do, like, I spend like literally two-thirds of my life with them basically. So, and like guys especially, and at first I think they used to find it weird, but now I'm finding that they also say I love you a lot more, and like I appreciate you, and like, oh my God, I miss you guys, especially with working from home. They're like, oh, I need to talk, we need FaceTime, you know, like, and it's so important. And I think
we should normalize this.
Yeah, we should normalize it. It's just so important. And I think that also will help men in a way. Like, if you're more open, they can be more open, and then we can all be more open, and then we'll have less, like, wounded people. I know I always... Do I always end like that? I'm always like, heal yourself, heal the world.
No, but that's, like, that's a good way to end every episode. Because it's, like, this is what we preach. Like, it's, if there's true, one thing we're preaching, this is what we're preaching, basically.
We're like, join the cult. VNTF. But yeah, no, I just wanted to briefly touch on it because I do think it's so important. And just like, I don't know, just be like,
and be intimate with everyone. It's not it's not like men or women, again, everyone from the community. Everyone
It's just,
doesn't matter.
I feel like the main reason I guess we're here on earth is connection. I really like,
yes,
so just connect, like deeply connect with as many people as you can. I feel like there are too many superficial, you know, shallow connections right now, especially with social media and stuff. So it's nice to like really, really get into it with someone.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think that's it for today's episode, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I always think, usually when I listen back, I'm like, oh, I wish I said this, I wish I said that. I get these thoughts, you know, like in the shower, I'm like, oh, I should have said So I'm sure at some point we're like, oh, I wish we talked about that, or we talked about this. But yeah, this is basically, I guess, what we have.
Might like, I think the good thing is like when we listen back to this and have those like thoughts, we can always like, because I think we cover a lot of different topics in one episode, we can then go and do another episode specifically on, like, for example, like, trans people, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because, like, literally just now, but I'm not going to say it, but I just remembered something I wanted to say about trans people. Mm. But now the flow of the episode isn't going to work for me. So I'm just like, we'll have another episode on that. But yeah, anyways.
Or on social or something.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, you guys. And yeah, please, like, let us know your thoughts, or if you want any specific episodes. Thank you, by the way, for anyone that's messaged us. We really enjoy, like, talking to you after.
It makes our day.
It's so nice. It's so, so nice. So yeah, do more of that. And if you want us to talk about anything, or if you just want to, like, slide in our DMs and just talk to us about life in general, feel free to do that. We're always down. Actually, that's not true. We're not always down, but for you, we will. I'm like, I don't answer my WhatsApp for weeks, but for this, I will be available. Yeah, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.